Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's a new week on the Sleepers Podcast. Happy Monday, everybody. May 6th. We're joined by the wonderful B.B. Elliott.
All right, man.
How's my boy B.B. Elliott?
Listen, one, we can't be calling me that. That strikes chords in a couple different areas. One, there's a specific group chat that I'm in that does nothing but make fun of the fact that I look like I have a BBL. And I don't like that.
You telling me you have a group chat dedicated to your ass?
There's a lot of discussion around the size of my ass in this group chat, yes.
Right, well, I mean, it's topical, right? It's BBL, the name is topical.
I don't participate, just so you know. I shoot it. I don't really like it. Honestly, I should just do the leave the chat thing, but I just let myself get bullied. I don't really know how to answer for that. Also, I apologize for my background. I think like my basketball plant, I might have put it back on wrong. I had it under the light to get some grow light, and I left the bathroom door open. So now you can see the bathroom in the background. I really apologize.
For the record, your background looks identical to how it always has.
No, this door is usually closed.
Well, thank you for the apology for your door not being closed. That's normally closed.
And also, like, usually this plant is, like, more, you know, like, upright. And I got, like, a piece of article clothing that can't go in the dryer that's hanging right here drying. It's unprofessional.
More planty. That's what the plant normally is.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's more, I'm a plant in a basketball.
Well, you have multiple more days this week to hopefully come better prepared. Fix that. Thank you. Did you have a good weekend?
I did have a good weekend. Got some things done around the house. Did some painting. Played my first like solo round of golf. Not the worst thing. Definitely not the best thing. Had some moments I can hang my hat on. But yeah, not too bad.
Well, good. Yeah, I heard good reports from the people that played with you. Shout out to Z Hearth, who was letting us know that Cartel has been lying about how poorly his swing has been going this year. He said you played well, which is on brand because you do lie a lot.
Do I?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought I've been pretty like better at just not doing that.
I think you just embellish. That's a better word than lie.
I am a big time embellisher.
Yeah, you're one of the best embellishers I know.
Does it make it okay though if my embellishing comes from a place of love and like wanting to see excitement on others' face when I embellish? Like, I embellish not just for, like, not for me whatsoever. Nothing about it's personal. I just want someone else to feel better about what I'm telling them. That's why I embellish.
You're absolutely true that your embellishment has never been for your own personal gain once. Yeah. In fact, I've seen it hurt you multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes it better or worse. It's just a fact to me. I don't know if it's inherently good or bad. Anyways, that's not what the people are here for. I'm glad you got some productive painting done. I'm glad that, in general, you had a good weekend. It's good to see you, my friend. Are we going to address the fact that I have two championship rings on?
I was going to let you just go ahead and step right up and explain yourself, especially maybe explain the fact that you're rocking them both on your pinky fingers.
Yeah, it's because they don't fit on my ring fingers. They're like very, very, very snug. I got these in high school. And I think my fingers are a little fatter than they used to be, maybe a lot fatter. But they get to the knuckle, and then I get really, really scared that it's not going to come off. One thing about me, I do not like having a ring that's too tight. I do not like feeling I have a ring that won't come off. So, yeah, they're on the pinkies right now. For those that say I'm not a three-time state champion, touche. here's two rings. For those that ask, where's the third ring? True story, my parents got so sick of buying me expensive championship rings that they were like, yeah, we're not buying you another one. This is ridiculous. You already have two.
You had to buy your own state championship rings?
You do have to pay for your rings. Yeah, the school doesn't pay for them.
Ooh.
That's
yucky.
It's because it wasn't team championship. It was individual championships.
Oh, got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
The school like set you up with an appointment of like, here's the ring person if you want to buy them. And at least for 2 years, my parents weren't poor. And then in year three, they decided to be poor.
Yeah, I mean, year three, you're like, all right, you're a three-time state champ. Even though, like, that pick would have hit different. Like, senior year picks for Greg, and you hit, like, the three, and you had three state championship rings. That would have hit.
That's what I'm saying. I've never recovered. But anyways, first time I've worn these in, like, 11 years. So, yeah, reminder, I am a champion. Shout out Coleman Hawkins, also a champion. Okay, should we get to the show? You want to start us off with the YouTube comment of the day?
Yeah, can I get my negativity for the episode out of the way right now?
Oh, fake positivity week's over.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, welcome back. Those are kind of small for state championship rings.
You think
but
so?
I guess, like, but you having to pay for them makes it – okay, they look a little bit smaller when you didn't have them, like, up in there, but
– I don't think they're overly small, to be honest, but maybe.
Okay. I'm just saying that because Country Day got one that are like obnoxiously big, like literally obnoxiously big. But all right, got my comment of the day already here, screenshotted. This one comes from Illinois Fan, and I picked this comment because the first line of the comment is, "Carter, you better read this Monday." All right, I got you. I do it for the people. Carter, you better read this Monday. Brad is in Spain right now. That's right, Spain. And I'm saying that because your old-ass coach is probably too old to fly 10 hours to recruit. We will have Big Z's brother commit this week, and we're in a bidding battle with Igor Demon, a potential top 10 pick in next year's draft. Brad pivots better than Jalen Brunson in the paint. Never disrespect the man and watch this magic play out. And before you doubt Big Z's brother, Tomislav Avisic, he outplayed Wemby in a head-to-head. Read it Monday, little kitty. All right. I just got called little kitty. Also, my coach might be too old to fly 10 hours to recruit, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's extremely true.
Good on you.
Okay. Couple big things here. First off, are you just getting blackmailed at this point? Like, if people want you to read their comment, is all they have to do just get increasingly more threatening?
I didn't really feel threatened at all during that.
Yeah, but like if somebody wanted to beat out that comment, wouldn't they just have to be like, Carter, you dumbass, read this or I'm going to hurt you. And
yeah.
And then you would just read that one instead of that one?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's how to get your comments right on the show. Just get increasingly more threatening to Carter.
Yeah, let's see how that works out for you.
That'll work. A couple other things here quickly. He is in Spain. Let's acknowledge that. We botched that. More importantly, though, let's blame the Discord on that one because our Discord told us he was in Serbia.
Right. So, like, don't get on us. Get on the Illinois Fan channel, which has been lacking, by the way.
Well, I called out the channel Friday afternoon. I think I mentioned it on the show. But Friday afternoon, I sent, guys, I'm going to need you to be better next week. This was a stinker of a week. You guys told me David Jones was coming. Then you told me Kalkbrenner was coming. Neither of those guys even hit the portal. So, yeah, I'm not overly happy with their performance. But also, like, come on. You think we're going to fact check the Discord? If the Illinois channel tells us that Brad's in Serbia, we're just assuming he's in Serbia.
Like, who would lie about that? Well, besides me, I would for sure lie about my coach being in Serbia.
It's a crazy lie. Three, final thing for me. It's a great sign that he's in Spain. That absolutely swings my opinion of what's going on right now. And second, I just looked up this dude, Tomislav Avisic. Carter, this is not just Big Z's brother. This is Big Z's twin.
Hold the Serbian phone. Big Z has a twin?
A twin. This kid's already 19. He has a twin. This is Big Z's twin who just didn't come with him to Kentucky.
Wait, no. Okay, that's bad mismanagement. You're telling me there's two of his issues and we didn't get them?
Vladislav, I think, right? What's Big Z? No, Zvonimir. Sorry, I'm confusing him with my center, Vladislav Golden. Zvonimir and Tomislav.
Okay, great name. Yeah, you got to get both those guys and start them. What's Cal doing?
7 foot, 19 years old, draft eligible, plays with Aubrey Dawkins.
I literally don't even care that if he's good or bad. You got to keep twins together.
Cart, I'm just looking through highlights right now. He looks nasty. We're going to have to talk about that. We'll do a video on Thomas Lob tomorrow. But yeah, I can't, if Brad's just about to steal Zvonimir's brother. Yeah, Zvonimir went to Croatia this was in December. And Zvonimir was watching his brother while FaceTiming Justin Edwards. There's a video right here. So interesting. All right. That'd be a big time ad. Just what Illinois needs, another 7 foot guy.
Yeah. I need to tap in.
I actually do need a center, by the way. Okay.
Yeah, they really do.
To the show. I have not prepared myself to go back to where we're at in the comment section. Can you give a quick Discord plug?
Of course I can. If you are looking for maybe the easiest, but also the most rewarding way, I think, to support Sleepers, the way you can do that is by joining the Discord on the desktop. The link is in the description below. Use that link on your desktop to join the Sleepers Discord for $9.99 a month. Just a simple low price of $9.99 a month. You get access to us. You get access to the channel. We're building a nice community over there. Yeah, if you're not in there, give it a go. We have a really good retention rate on there. So I feel like if you give it a month go, you won't leave unless Greg makes you leave because he threatens you. Otherwise, our retention rate is special.
I've been doing a pretty good job at toning it down a little bit, I think. Quick shout-outs. I think we shouted out some of these people last week, but we forgot to, at least with one of them. 2K Lab Sean, Indiana fans in the Discord. Willini Smith is in the Discord. And newest member, Young Tuna Fish Jr. is in the Discord.
Young Tuna Fish Jr. Are you a tuna guy?
God, no.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? That's me being a bad friend. You don't do seafood because of your father's allergies.
Because my father is allergic. I got a lot of hate. People acting like I don't believe allergies are a real thing. I do, if you take precaution to avoid them. If you're just
If you don't have an EpiPen, you're not allergic.
Not what I said. I'm getting misquoted. If you claim you're allergic to something you keep ordering more of on a regular basis, then you're not allergic. Like you can't be like, I'm allergic to water. Oh, but I just bought a new case of water.
Yeah. To be honest with you, you wearing that ring on your pinky, I'm just buying whatever you're selling right now. So you're right.
Understood. Okay. To the Discord where we have comments. First comes from Izzo's friend Jake, who says the weather bit is getting unhinged and I love it. I hope it never dies. Joke's on you. We already forgot about the weather bit.
It's a little nippy outside. We're recording this at night. I actually just came fresh off a nice little Sunday stroll, little walk. Sneaky, because it was warm all day. But once that sun sets, I think it got a little bit chilly. Definitely light pullover weather. I just went with a straight t-shirt pants combo. Regretted it, but did enjoy the walk. But it's a nice spring night, I'd say.
It's sneaky nippy.
It's sneaky nippy, yeah.
Okay. All right. Eric NJ Boiler says, I've never been a South Park watcher, but my wife took me to see the Book of Mormon on Broadway. The South Park guys made a great musical. If there's a national tour, I recommend going. And he sent a picture. Nice little plug for Broadway. Have you ever seen a Broadway play, Cart?
No, I don't like Broadway. I don't like musicals and or plays.
That's on brand, I think.
Yeah, I get a lot of backlash because I've never seen Hamilton.
Hamilton was really good.
Yeah, I've heard great things, but I've never seen it.
Can't imagine you would like Hamilton, though.
Yeah, well, there's a long story short why I don't watch it is because that was supposed to be my name when I was younger. Like, there was two options. There was Carter, and my father wanted to name me Hamilton, which would have set me up for a life of absolute failure. Could you imagine the hell I would have gone through at my size, if people could hit me with a shut up hammy, like, what are we doing here?
Carter Lin-Manuel-iot.
Carter weighs a Hamilton. Like, I would have been in hell.
Okay. Guy, whose name is now Guy Kim English Enthusiast, says, daily high major comment to prove my sanity. Day 9, likely the last day counting. I don't know what number comes after 9. Why are people so out on Rutgers? The Big Ten looks like it will stink. If they can find anyone to play the 5, they could go out and win the mid-10.
I'm not out on Rutgers. Who's out on Rutgers?
I'm relatively out on Rutgers because they haven't found a five and they're not going to.
I'm not out on Rutgers. I think Rutgers is going to be good.
Good relative to the Big Ten, probably. Good relative nationally. I think there's some pretty big question marks. Because
are they a tournament team?
I don't know. I think they're right on the bubble. They could be. If the freshmen are that good, then yeah. But I think like guys saying like if they can find anyone to play the five is like saying if Tom Izzo gets a transfer center. Like
that's enough.
If Michigan lands an All-American guard, like it's an if that's not going to happen. So let's analyze them for what they are. A team that just lost Cliff, has no center, and is going to rely on two 18-year-old ball-dominant guys to save a historically bad offensive coach.
Maybe they do it.
It could happen, but it also might not happen. Doctor says, can I get permission to hate on whatever team guy ends up choosing? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you don't have to ask that question.
No. Dreadhead Dev Royal the King says, hypothetical, would Greg still be in on Aiden Mahaney All-American talk if instead of committing to Hurley, he headed down to Boca Raton and linked with Jakus? That's the grossest thing I've had to consider mentally in a really long time. Long answer is I would be significantly more out on Mahaney if he was going to Florida Atlantic to play for a shitty coach. But I'm not. Jakus might not even be a shitty coach. Jakus might be a great coach and just my enemy. That would honestly be the most fun result here if Jakus was really good and I had to deal with that for a few years. But nobody at Florida Atlantic was going to be an All-American. Like if John L. Davis and Vlad Goldin weren't, then Aiden Mahaney's not going to be. By default, yes, I guess I would be down on All-American talk. Like I think he's in the perfect system at the perfect program to be their leading scorer and be a stud.
Yeah. By the way, Dusty and Jakus need to set up a home and home. That needs to happen.
Yeah.
I feel like it should happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're aiming for a little bit higher competition levels at this point for key games.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. Maynard says, pretty crazy that in the same year Iowa gave us Caitlin Clark, the NFL's first white cornerback came in forever. What are the chances Cooper DeJean would be the most hated man in America next season if he went to Duke instead?
Be hated if he went to Duke instead. I don't think anyone hates Cooper DeJean.
We honestly didn't like him when he tormented Michigan State with that punt return.
Yeah, well, he tormented everybody, but like yeah. I always thought he was just good and yeah, gonna be cold.
Yeah, I don't think Duke football players get hated as much as like Riley Leonard wasn't hated. You know,
you hated Riley Leonard.
Well, that's because Riley Leonard isn't as good as people think. Stay tuned on that next year, but. Also, iManner says, P.S., have you seen DeJean's high school basketball highlights? Dude was a mid-2000s Disney villain if he's ever seen one.
That's pretty accurate. Also, he was nice at hoop.
He was really nice at hoop. Also, I'm more in on Cooper DeJean after he said he could beat Caitlin Clark one-on-one. I love that.
That's what you need. Did you see the tweet, though? They're like, he's being a little bit too humble for my liking. He's a safety. If he's going to be a cornerback, you got to be just out of this world confident and say you beat her 21-0.
Yeah. Yeah. Without being too pointed, this guy's an NFL defensive back. If he played Caitlin Clark one-on-one, he'd be all right. Like,
I think, yeah.
He is paid to guard men who run 4.3 40s. He'd be all right.
Yeah, he definitely would be. I also shout out to Caitlin Clark. She was cooking shit up in her preseason game. She also got banged by Arike. I don't want to butcher her last name, but that move was nasty that she had for the game winner.
Absolute hooper. Yeah. iManner says, I may be unaware, but the sleepers do spaces on X. If not, it would be cool to do one from time to time. I know you guys do a lot with the pod, and we appreciate it. So maybe just something occasionally. Don't want to burn you guys out. Do we do live audio anywhere?
We do live audio. No, that's live video. We don't do live audio. We used to do Spotify Green Room, but we don't really do live audio.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, I think a lot of our audience has found us since these days. But a couple years back, we were partners with Spotify Green Room, which was originally the Locker Room app, and it got bought by Spotify. It was basically Twitter Spaces before Twitter Spaces became big. We would do scheduled rooms a couple times a week. There was a really great community there. A lot of people we know from Multiplicity Media Group, we met through that app. really fun, niche-y little sports-loving community. And we got paid to do it for a while. It was fun. And then Spotify Green Room kind of fizzled out. I don't know what's going on there. I think that app has pretty much disappeared at this point. Spotify's attempt to sustain that long-term did not work. Twitter Spaces won it over. We have not ever done a Twitter Spaces, partially because of our past relationship with Spotify, but we could do them. We certainly could do them. I think intent-wise from us right now, we like keeping anything that we do live through Bleacher Report. We like keeping that exclusive to them. And right now it's been live video with Bleacher Report. So, but there, it would be fun to have a way to have people interact with us verbally in the middle of a show. So maybe some like post game rooms or something. I know DK does a lot of those Michigan State ones. I tried to convince the UM Hoops guy. I don't even know if I told you this last year. I tried to convince Dylan Burkhart to try out some live audio rooms with me on Twitter after Michigan games. And I don't think Dylan's a big fan of my work, because that just kind of fizzled.
Okay, first of all, we respect Buckets 12 on this here podcast.
Well, I've since left UM Hoops. I haven't told you that. I've since left.
What?
Yeah. I don't need to be like verbalizing this out loud right now, but yeah, I stopped. I canceled my paid subscription about a month and a half ago because I was spending too much time over there. And in full honesty, this might be me running from the grind. The more that people in that community figured out who I was publicly, the less I enjoyed my interactions there, because there would be a couple people who would say some pretty not nice things. And for whatever reason, that got to me more than just Twitter's like random Twitter eggs. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Just decided to remove myself from my mental health. Anyways, that's not a mean plug. I really like UM Hoops and Dylan does a great job. I still read his work, and it was a great community for a really long time, but point is, no, we do not do Twitter Spaces. Jay Hart says, if you were a new head coach and there were three coaches / players that you could learn an offense from, who would you pick? Could be anyone, college or NBA.
I mean, probably Hurley would be one. I don't know if we're doing it to the T. If it's assistants, I would do Luke Murray. Probably Scott Drew. I'm going to stay all college. I do Scott Drew. And then I think I'll go Brad Underwood.
Crazy one.
I like those are all the offenses I like.
Brad Stevens, Jay Wright, LeBron James.
Jay Wright's not even doing anything anymore.
Yeah, but I honestly, Jay Wright's little throwback full court to Chris Jenkins, and then his stone cold response to that, like, you got to have some serial killer and you want to draw that up, two, to have it work, and then three, to not even react.
Yeah. Also, cash your ticket out there for whoever had Greg to pick Brad Stevens -900. That was happening.
The JJ Redick LeBron thing, they were talking about Brad Stevens like victory play the other day. Like, I truly believe that guy was an offensive genius, and yeah. I'm kind of bummed he didn't stay in college longer. I know he went to the NBA, but like, he shouldn't be in a front office right now. He should be like running college basketball for two more decades.
Facts.
Coop says, Edie has ruined my ability to evaluate centers. Every time the Greginator hypes up Balo, my first response is that Edie read him a bedtime story before tucking the little fella into bed. But then I realized that probably isn't a fair comparison. Edie is the outlier, not the standard.
Edie tucked every single player he played against to bed. Every single one. All of them.
Except for Donovan Clingan.
He dominated that matchup.
For 8 minutes.
He had 40.
He was great. He had a very tough stretch to start the second half, which is when UConn took an 18-point lead.
He did, because there were other people who mattered that needed to hit shots and they couldn't.
You're right, but I thought Clingan did a nice job.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I mean, Umar still had 13-6. It wasn't horrible.
We'll take that. I would take that.
Edie had 22. That's probably one of his quieter nights. Like, yeah, I don't know. Balo's really good. I think if we were making a preseason Big Ten players list, we probably should do that at some point. Balo's like second or third on my list of best players in the league.
Eesh.
He's a guaranteed double-double every single night. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I'd take him over anybody on our two teams. I think outside of Braden Smith, I don't know who you're taking in a league over him right now.
Well, you know who I'm taking personally.
Who?
I'll take him Renew.
That's a crazy one. Guy says, daily high major comment to prove my sanity day 10. The numbers are back. The more I think about it, the more I'm out on this Kansas team. I understand that Mayo, Kugel, Griffin, and Storr are good players. I question how they fit together, especially because two of those guys have an ego. The only one who I'm unequivocally in on is Rylan Griffin. Curious about your thoughts. I think this is the comment from guy that proves once and for all it is 100% a bit.
Yeah.
Maybe the fact that you and I can't get it as a bit is like the guy dancing circles around us. But I think he's just being as contrarian as possible in a funny way.
Yeah. Yeah. I just that because that's just absolutely that's just crazy.
Like, ooh, I'm out on Kansas. Like, what?
Shout out to my dog Sweeney dropping on the gram, by the way. Look at that boy.
He's having a day.
Look okay. Get a fit off then, Sweeney.
My boy needs to get some SPF 300 on quickly, though. Save that man.
Facts. Save. Yeah, how many mojitos do you think Kevin Sweeney had at the swim up pool bar?
I would guess Sweeney doesn't drink mojitos, and I bet he's very particular about like if his like limerita has enough lime in it.
He gets a lime. It's either that or a sex on the beach. Those are the ones he's drinking.
Good for Sweeney. I miss Sweeney. Well, honestly, would love to vacation with Sweeney once in our lives.
I think it'd be pretty sweet.
Be very fun. I feel like we were a little too mean to Guy on that comment, by the way. Do you want to provide any actual analysis of Kansas? Like, could it work? Could it not?
No, be better, Guy. Shut up.
Imaner says, thoughts on Kendrick Lamar idolizing Tupac, who died a registered sex offender, and threatening to move his music from Spotify because they wanted to censor R. Kelly, but turning into Chris Hansen when it's time to battle Drake. Can you be careful with this one, please?
I will. I'll say this. You know how we had that discussion that, like, people shouldn't look to certain people to be role models because they're just, like, not? Like, coaches and people in certain positions just aren't the best people, necessarily. That applies to other big people in the world.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to move on. We are going to do one big beef at the end of this. One big thing is going to be a Kendrick Drake segment today. Guy says, thoughts on everyone trying to convince us that Tupac died when he faked his death and moved to Cuba.
You know what? I'm not one for the Tupac conspiracy theories things.
In your words, that boy dead?
Yeah.
Okay. Jesse says, what constitutes being a boy band? Three or four guys that sing together, coming together at any point in their teens? That's my criteria. His top five boy bands, not in any order, are Boys to Men, Bone Thugs, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, and New Kids on the Block. There was a lot of pushback on multiple of these not being boy bands.
Yeah, so the one, they got to be like young when they start. I don't know what age it is necessarily, what the cutoff is, but like Boys to Men can't be a part of that. Honestly, who should have got a shot was Jackson 5. Do they count as a boy band? They did start as like, well, at least Michael was little when he was, and the other Jackson children might have been a little bit older.
I guess by default, I struggle with like, this might be my definition of boy bands. I think there's an age on the bottom side that you can't be to be a boy. Like you can't be younger than like 13 to be a boy band. And I don't know what age the Jackson 5 were, but I feel like Michael was like 10 when they had some hits.
Yeah, he was. Honestly, do you have to be white to be a boy band?
I don't think so. I don't. But it seems like most are. Like, I don't consider Bone Thugs a boy band.
Yeah, no. Well, they were also just old guys.
But I don't consider Hanson a boy band. Like, the one-hit wonder Hanson. Mbop.
Yeah. Where do you stand on New Edition?
That one's tough. That one's close.
That teeters, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think if I were making a list of my five boy bands, Backstreet Boys and NSYNC are the no-brainers. I would put 98 Degrees in there. That was golden boy band era age time, and they were closer than people gave them credit for to the big two. I think I'll give some love to the new school a little bit here. I'm gonna do it. I think One Direction has to be in there. I think they just have to be in there with how good all four of their big four ended up being. Like Harry, Niles, Zane, and what's his name? God, I'm going to forget the other kid's name. The other kid had a hit. You know what I'm talking about?
I wasn't a One Direction guy. Well, I knew Harry Styles and Zayn. I didn't know the other ones.
I forget the other ones. I know Louis the fifth. The fourth one, I can't remember his name right now, so clearly that's a bad look for me. But he had a couple big hits. Fifth one, I'm going to go international. I think BTS.
Is that the K-pop?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got some hits. Yeah. Shout out to you for showing me that.
Yeah, I mean, international studs. Yeah, a lot of pushback on Bone Thugs in the comments. Back to the comments. Malik says, Jesse needs to go back to fix his list. The first two are not boy bands. Sorry to break your heart, Train Lover. This might be a two-segment thing. If you could make a team of five basketball players that have been in movies, who would you choose?
Probably Shaq, Barkley, Ray Allen, Michael Jordan, LeBron James.
I don't have any different names than that.
Yeah, maybe you could put Kevin Durant technically because he was in Thunderstruck.
Could put Anthony Edwards.
Ooh, put Anthony. Damn, there was a couple good players in that movie.
I'm big on the Anthony Edwards train right now.
I love Anthony Edwards.
Malik also says, "You guys ever watch Good Morning America? They have people." They have people, you know what type of people. They be making a meal, and I go, WTF is they doing? They try so hard to complicated something simple and add the most BS to make it nasty.
I'm not a Good Morning America watcher.
What has gotten into our comment section, Cart?
Is it because we said they need to be better and now they're trying to overcompensate?
Do we have to, like, rein things in a little bit, though? Like, we always said we'll just read every comment, but, like, I'm starting to get a little concerned. This, like, the off-season vibes are getting a little weird here.
Yeah, I'm going to have to leave that decision to you, though, because you're the comment reader. Like, you need to pull rank.
I mean, I don't want to censor anybody, but, like, maybe this is just a public plea from me to all of our beloved listeners who help make the show. Like, please actually think about what you're having us read and if it really needs to be in the episode that day. Because, like, we do have other things to attend to in our lives, and not to go too hard on Malik, but like, I just like that. There wasn't even a question in there. That was just like, I watched Good Morning America today. Those people make bad meals. Like, what? That's what are we doing with that on the show right now? Malik has another one though, because I'm going to read them all. I'm still reading them all. He says, I think a lot of people who are rich have nasty taste buds. No one can make me believe dry wine don't taste like piss.
I never had dry wine, but I will say this. I'm not saying that they got bad taste buds, but I hate fancy restaurants more than life itself.
Yeah.
Truly, yeah. Truly, truly, truly. If I had one wish, it would be I'm not eating at any restaurants where the pictures of the food aren't on the menu.
That's a good one. I like that. Malik also says, I find it cool that you two still find out things about each other. Shows how you are a great team. Even before that compliment from Malik, I was about to say the wine tastes like piss comment got me back in. We're not censoring comments. We're not censoring comments because it's too fun to be able to just like riff off of these absurdities, you know?
That's true. Yeah. And Malik's the gift that keeps on giving.
Malik, you won me back over in 10 seconds. Good job. Boom Fizzle says, I'm interested to hear your opinion on this, especially given what's happened with Michigan and a few past recruits. Should colleges bend the rules to admit transfer athletes for football and basketball? This is from a mailbag article with the Augusta Free Press that basically said, is Virginia not willing to work with its coaches to get wish list transfers in? It's a complicated question that deserves a complicated answer. My short form answer is yes. Schools should work with their coaches to bend the rules to get players into their institution. Where I stand on this primarily is that feigning academic superiority is extremely lame. If anything, it just makes you look arrogant. And I understand, like, Ivy League schools have standards. Non-Ivy League schools that are great academic schools claim they have standards. But, like, Michigan's rule book doesn't even take into account GPA. Like, if a kid wanted to come from Stanford that was a junior and had a 4.1 GPA, had never not gotten an A+, he wouldn't be admitted into Michigan. And that alone is absurd. Like, at that point, it's not about whether he's a good or bad student. It's just an archaic rule that is handicapping you for, I don't know, like, you're not a Michigan man enough person. Like, let's chill. It's 2024. We can be better about this. That's my answer.
Yeah, I'll double off that. My only follow-up to that would be, one, I'm all about bending the rules. So I'm in on that. But I want the rules to be bent for players that deserve it. Like Terrence Shannon Jr. or John L. Davis, if he was trying to get into Michigan. Aidan Mahaney. You bend the rules for him, right? You bend the rules for them. If, I don't know, if A.J. Hogard was trying to train, you don't bend the rules for A.J. Hogard. You don't bend the rules for certain players. There needs to be a bend the rule threshold to earn that, I think. Otherwise, bend them things. No Diddy.
Yeah. Amen. Coop says, is Kitty Cat Towns the softest big man in the NBA?
I hate Carl Anthony Towns hate. I really do. I think the dude's just good.
I understand it because, like, he does come across as soft in a lot of ways, and his facial expressions are a little out there. Yeah, right now they're 1-0. They just beat Jokic, and then Jokic hit the presser after and said he needs two of him to deal with Towns and Gobert. So, no, he's not the softest dude right now. He's looking good. By the way, I placed a future. I think I texted you about it. After one game of watching Minnesota in the playoffs this year, I said this team's winning the title. And I got it 30-1. I think this team's winning the title.
They're so much fun.
Yeah. I think also I see the future right now. I think we're going to get Banchero, Anthony Edwards in the finals like 3 or 4 times each.
Do you have any comment on Franz game 7 today?
I actually have a longer Franz conversation to have at some point. I think every single time I watch Franz, now I haven't watched a ton of the Magic regular seasons here, but every single time I watch Franz, I see a guy who like can't beat his guy off the dribble at all. And the Magic seem to like expect him to do that way more than I would expect them to. Like they when it breaks down, they kind of go to Franz and just let him go one-on-one with like a bigger defender. And he always gets blocked, or he takes a tough fadeaway that he never makes. So I don't know. I don't know if that was just like weird playoff shit and Evan Mobley's a great defender. To me, like Franz in college was not a great isolation scorer. He was not a guy who could just go one-on-one and score. I'm kind of surprised he's asked to do that so much or was asked to do that so much this series. To me, like you should be playing through Suggs/Banchero and Franz should be much more off ball, but maybe
Suggs,
I'm wrong and I'm missing.
Suggs stunk it up today too.
Suggs was bad today, but yeah, I don't know. To me, that's just kind of Franz.
Yeah, I'm so sick of watching other NBA teams have fun with their number one picks while we wither away.
Yeah, I mean, we got a number one pick in between the Paolo and Anthony Edwards drafts.
Yay.
Yay. And Cade looks great, but we'll probably never see Cade in the playoffs ever. Dreadhead Dev Royal to King says, I'm out on Creighton. That's a pretty simple comment.
With you.
Are you?
They did get Calk back. They did.
It's a weird time to be out on Creighton.
I just wish they would have got Trey Alexander back.
Yeah, I feel you there. Tristan Freeman says, question for OVO Cart. Which player would put out the best diss track against their former team? Connor Sejan against Wisconsin, AJ Storr against Illinois, Mati Sissoko against Michigan State, Doug McDaniel against Michigan.
Doug McDaniels would definitely be fire for sure. But I can't confirm this, but I really think this is a thing. I think I saw it one time scrolling Twitter. I think Jeremy Roach actually makes music and or raps, I believe. So I think that his diss track against John Shire would be pretty good.
That would be great. Yeah.
Like four-eyed fake Coach K. I couldn't show you the way. You rocking with that Aussie. Kick you like a kangaroo. I don't know.
Thought I was worse than Tyrese Proctor. John Shire better call you a doctor. Thought I was worse than Caleb Foster. You better get you a new roster.
You dress like Rob Doster.
This shit got real awkward.
Awkward. Cook them up. Eat some dessert like Bananas Foster.
All right, that was good.
With your weak ass roster.
Come March, it's about to cost you.
Make them like a salad and toss them.
Guy says, daily high major comments. Prove my sanity day 11. Wow, rare moment that Kyle Neptune does something good. Picks up Max Schulga. Carter, do you have anything to say about it since you're Kyle Neptune's number one op?
I like Max Schulga a lot. I question anyone's decision-making who wants to go play for Kyle Neptune.
Guy says tampering sucks. First John Tonji, then Jamari Thomas, roll Kim English, Greg Gard, parentheses fat, and Lamont Paris should call me. I'll throw hands. I love Kim English.
Yeah, this is a guy's trying. Is this what it feels like when you have like a young, like terrible twos child and they're trying to like get attention?
I don't know. Dreadhead Dev Royal to King says finishing a team and you need a five man. Are you taking Kalkbender or Cliff?
Kalk.
Caught without question.
Yeah.
What mid-major teams are killing the portal, aka the Akron Zips?
McNeese State's going crazy. Will Wade's got a high major like SEC winning level roster. And what is McNeese in again? Are they the Southland? Yeah, Southland Conference.
Yeah, Southland. I've flipped on Will Wade. I kind of hope he stays at McNeese and like makes them a powerhouse because that'd be really fun. I honestly think he'd be more successful doing that than he would like trying to go in the SEC and being like the eighth best coach there. Like,
yeah,
just stay and drop bags and dominate the mid-major level. I gotta give the homer shout out to Loyola Drew Valentine. I really like the class he's put together.
Yeah, he's doing good things.
Yeah. Let me see. Is that it?
This might be it.
Dreadhead Dev Royal King says, anyone else miss John Fulkerson? No.
John Fulkerson.
Tennessee White, big.
Oh, no. Do not miss him whatsoever. Yeah, no. Whatever happened to Plazvich or whatever his name was?
I don't know. I would assume like kickboxing in Romania or something.
I could see that. He could probably toss a goat like 90 yards.
It's a great start to the week from the comment section. Thank you to the Discord. Join the Discord. The link is in the description of this video. Hey, Carter, it's May 6th. It's Monday.
And Skippy, May.
Are we still brought to you by MyBookie?
You get damn Skippy. We're still brought to you by MyBookie, the official sportsbook of Sleepers Media, the only place that we place all of our bets. They have everything you need from expert predictions, player parlays, prop bets. I mean, whatever you need, MyBookie makes it easy to play your way and get paid. And as always, we still have a, excuse my language, kick-ass offer going on right now, a instant deposit bonus of up to $1,000 by using promo code SLEEPERS. That's promo code SLEEPERS to get a first instant deposit match bonus of up to $1,000. That means if you put $1,000 in, you get $1,000 free, and then you can work with that and make something happen. But to do that, you got to head over to MyBookie, use promo code SLEEPERS, and happy gambling.
You heard the man. Link in the description. Take advantage of that welcome offer. Carter, let's get to the show. We got three fun topics for you today. We're going to start with off-season winners and losers. Obviously, it's the early off-season winners and losers. It's only the beginning of May. This could change in the next week. This could change in the next month. We'll be here daily to keep documenting it. But now that we are a month out of the season's end, we want to do our early off-season winners and losers. So I have five winners. I have five losers. I believe Carter has the same. You actually came prepared today because I told you the topics ahead of time. Why don't you start us off? First off, how do we want to do this? Do we want to make this a game at all? Or are we just unveiling winners and losers?
I think we should unveil. I'm going to let you go first because I feel like we will have some that match up. And I think once we do that, we should, you know, maybe just agree that they're on both of our lists.
Should we, I kind of want to like Roger Ebert this.
I have no clue who Roger Ebert is.
I think it's the guy who's dead now, but he did movie reviews. I think for the New York Times, maybe.
Okay, how do we do that then?
I don't know. He had his own scale. He was just like, he had a scale, and it was always like he was critical. I feel like we should like if you give me a winner, I'm either giving you like a 5-star restaurant or like a, I don't know, like a, yeah, maybe, or like a, no, I disagree.
Oh, okay. We can do that.
Okay. Just maybe just a thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah. Let's go classic. Let's go classic. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs middle.
Yeah. I like that. Okay. You want me to go first?
Yeah.
I never need to see you suck your thumb again.
Okay.
My first winner. I think it's been the biggest offseason winner. Kansas. It's Kansas. It's Kansas. It's Bill Self. Yeah, they outbid everybody for AJ Store. They out-tampered the tamperers for AJ Store. They also got two other players at AJ Store's position that every program in the country would have loved. Like, Riley Kugel's the afterthought here, and they beat out Arizona and UConn and Houston for Riley Kugel. That's absurd. They bring back Hunter Dickinson, who absolutely could have gone back in the portal, by the way. He's, like, the most dramatic player on earth. He could have done the rounds, and instead it's just like, nope, you're guaranteed to come back. DeJuan Harris is guaranteed to come back. KJ Adams is guaranteed to come back. The only thing that's gone even slightly not Kansas's way is Johnny Furphy leaving. But like, that was like the ninth thing on the list. So they are the overwhelming winner of the early offseason.
Yeah, I think that's the undisputed one. You got to bring that up when you're speaking about off seasons.
Are they on your list?
They are on my list, yes.
Okay, beautiful. To my number two winner, I feel very good about this one as well. I think it's Indiana. This is a team who last season missed the tournament because their roster, not because of their best players. Khalil Ware was great. Malik Renu was good. Trey Galloway was pretty good. Xavier Johnson was hurt. Everything else was a disaster. They didn't have a fifth player that was playable. It didn't matter how much Mackenzie Mbako was making shots at the end of the year. Xavier Johnson was hurt. Gabe Cuffs was their other guard. They had no other players that were playable off the bench. All they've done is return Galloway, Renu, landed walking double-double in Umar Ballo to replace Khalil Ware, return Mbako, a guy who could have been at the draft or would have been highly sought after in the portal, and then get the freshman player of the year in the Pac-12 and another Pac-12 former fringe 5-star recruit. Their top six is as good as pretty much any team's top six in the country that's not Kansas right now. And I think Mike Woodson deserves all the credit for how quickly he flipped things around.
Yeah, I think these are the two teams that right away when we started this exercise, those are the two that need to be said right away. And I think they belong on everyone's list. Now, the other three, I'm interested to see kind of where you went, but also to stay on task, that also gets a massive thumbs up from the cartel.
Okay, good. Thank you. I'm not going to overthink my next three. I want to preface that. Before I reveal them, I want to preface my thought process. I could have gotten cute here. I could have looked at like specific rosters and try to make a case for certain players. I told myself, don't get cute. My third biggest winner of the offseason is Arkansas. Arkansas stumbled their way blindly into a Hall of Fame coach who's probably a top 10 coach in the history of the sport, and they took him from an SEC rival.
Yeah, and then proceeded to get probably – not, you know, at least you can say is probably in the top five transfer portal rankings for a lot of people in John L. Davis. They get Jonas Adu as well. They're able to get Boogie Fland. You know, I think that this offseason couldn't have gone better for Arkansas after losing Muss.
Yeah, they just talented Mr. Ripley'd Kentucky. That's what they did. Like, they just killed Kentucky, took Kentucky's body, and put an Arkansas shirt on it.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, has to be. Are they on your list?
They were on my list, yes.
Wow, so all three have been on your list thus far.
Yeah, I'm starting to be concerned. There's got to be some that weren't on your list.
At least one of these won't be. My fourth one, once again, don't overthink it. My fourth winner of this offseason is Chucky Hepburn. To me, Chucky Hepburn had the biggest moment of any of these people this offseason. Like, the Chucky Hepburn day was a thing. Where everybody was like, oh, we discovered what Chucky Hepburn went for. And holy shit, is he going to leave? He's leaving. Oh my God, he's at the airport. Like, Chucky Hepburn is like one of the most forgettable guys in college basketball, unless you watch Wisconsin religiously. For him to like become the face of the sport for 24 hours and get a bag that is like triple what he's actually worth, I think he has to be a winner individually. And he gets to go from playing for Greg Gard on a team that lost AJ Storr to like a fun landing spot on one of the most historically great programs in the sport.
Okay, I like that, but I did not have him on my list, I must say.
Okay, do you want to give me one? You want to go back and forth here?
Yeah, I'll give you one, and this one was like my kind of off the wall pick, I would say. It was Georgetown, actually. I really like what Georgetown did this offseason. I think they were absolutely terrible, obviously, these past couple years. Ed Cooley takes over, and he just didn't have a guy. And now he has Malik Mack into the fold. He's got some other transfers that are, you know, I think pretty solid, underrated adds, like Micah Peavy. I know it's a stretch to say in an offseason that's had a lot going on, but Georgetown is my pick for a team that I think just sneakily had a really good offseason.
I like that shout. I don't think I would have thought of them if we extended this to like pick your top 15 favorite winners, but I like the shout. I mean, them getting Malik Mack is legitimately huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Legit.
All
right. Can I say my last one before you say your last one?
Yeah, I'm scared now that you're going to go first, but yeah.
I said Baylor.
Okay.
I said Baylor because they got Cryer back, which I think is very massive for them. And they went out and got Jeremy Roach, who I think was one of the better players and point guards in the portal. And I just think that their system is really going to work. And, you know, I know it was kind of a given, but with the leaving of the assistant coaches that they've had, them being able to keep the recruits they had coming in as well, I think is going to go a long way. They did lose Miro Little, who I was actually pretty high on, and like his future, but they have Edgecombe coming in. They get Roach as well. They probably would have been up towards number one if they were able to get a center. Like if they were able to get Adu in the fold, they probably would have been easily top three winner for me up there with like Arkansas, Indiana, and Kansas. But I think Baylor had a really good offseason.
Yeah, this is my first one I'm going to give you a thumb sideways on. I can't call them a winner when they struck out on their center targets.
Okay.
Now, like, getting Jeremy Roach was a
huge. They got Roach, though.
Yeah, that's a win. But, like, five biggest winners of the offseason, Baylor, to me, there's a huge hole in their front.
What if they get White?
Who's White?
Trezarian
White.
Yeah, Trezarian White.
They would still have a huge hole at center.
Okay, but, like, that's a good pick.
It would replace Jalen Bridges, who I think is probably maybe better than Trezarian White. I don't know. Like, Baylor's offseason right now is like, we got Jeremy Roach. That's really good. I think they're massively missing a center, though. Like, they're going to be scrambling to figure out what's going to happen here, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I'll accept it, I suppose.
It's okay because you're going to thumbs down my fifth one, and you have to hear me out. That's the rule. You have to hear me out on this first. I said I wouldn't overthink it. I'm not overthinking it. I'm speaking from the heart here. Michigan is a winner. They're one of the five biggest winners. Here's why. Because a month ago, a little more than a month ago, there was a very real possibility that Juwan Howard was still my head coach. Simple as that. That was on the table. That was in the cards, however you want to call it. The insiders expected it, folks. Everyone told us, we think Juwan's going to get another year. Ward Manuel's going to sit down and talk to Juwan, and yeah, it's going to be his last because he's going to fail. It's going to stink, but he's getting one more. He's a Michigan man. No, what we did was we slit the throat. That's what happened. And then not only did we slit the throat, like we could have slit the throat and then stumbled our way into like Pat Kelsey, right? Like, that's the real possibility here where we end up with, like, some guy who nobody really believes in. No, we ended up with Dusty May, who, like, probably would have been Kentucky's first call after Scott Drew if that had happened a week later. So, I feel I can't overthink it. Like, Dusty hasn't crushed everything flawlessly, but I get to watch Vlad Golden and Danny Wolf and Roddy Gale and Dusty instead of Juwan Howard and Will Cheddar. Like that was right there. That was where I was headed, Cart. I have to consider that a win. Okay.
I'll go there. I'll go there because one, it's Michigan, so I can do that. Two, I still think obviously some offseason play out. The not getting a big time guard is the only thing. Honestly, it'd be in between like I know this isn't a category. It's like a slanted up thumb, I would say, but it could get fully erect if you got a guard.
I need an erect thumb from you by the end of the season. I need it. Yeah, I don't. I just I can't like Michigan could be like okay, and like as long as I'm watching a dusty offense with like talented players in it, I won't even care. That's so refreshing to me, you know.
Yeah, I feel that.
Okay, maybe the winner should be me and not Michigan, because like I feel like a winner even if Michigan's not a winner that all these changes happened. Okay, to losers. I don't think I'm going to make many friends off of my losers list. I will say I crossed out a couple teams that I just don't feel like going to war with on being on the losers list. Should I just start?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is the one fan base I couldn't cross out, even though I wanted to. I can't. Illinois is on my losers list. They are. Look, man, Illinois, what I have been told, Illinois' plans were this offseason were we're going to pay Marcus DeMass to come back and we're going to appeal that he can play. We're going to get AJ Storr. We're going to get David Jones. And then Coleman Hawkins is going pro. He's not hitting the portal. That's what I was told was Illinois' offseason approach. They've been wrong on all four. So then you add the fact that they had some ins and outs with coaching staff that didn't have to happen that cost you two more players. I love the Kylan Boswell ad. I like the Benham Richis ad. All in all, I'm not. This isn't about Illinois' transfers, because I like Illinois' transfer class if you stack it up with others in the country. I really do. And they're not done yet. If they add Big Z's twin, I'll love that. But good Lord, man. You thought you were getting AJ Storr. You thought you were getting Marcus DeMass cleared. And then you thought you were getting David Jones. You got zero. And now Coleman's in the portal. So, and he's doing press tours telling people he won't play for Illinois. Like, I don't know how you can't consider that a loss.
Yeah. I think I feel the same way. And maybe it's because we expected more, I guess. Like, we expected, like, some heavy, heavy bag-throwing, heavy go-getters after losing so much from last year's team. And just underwhelming, I think, is the word I would use currently.
You should want to be on my losers list, because that means Marcus DeMass happens and he becomes a breakout star. So this is a good sign for Illinois fans.
I'm Richis.
Could be a killer. Absolutely could be. Is Illinois not on your list?
Illinois was on my list.
Okay. All right. Let's move on from here. Once again, not making many friends with this one. I told myself I wouldn't overthink this. Simply put, Michigan State is a loser. You didn't try to get a center.
Yep. Facts. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They're on my list. I really don't understand it. It still frustrates me to the core. Even outside of the not wanting the center thing, some of the conversations around the centers that are on the roster, disgusting behavior, just absolutely just devastating that there is literally what it seems to be no effort in getting a center and not getting one. So yes, 100% thumbs down, or thumbs up to us being thumbs down.
They're on your list too?
They are on my list, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if I was coming across as too harsh, but I promised myself at the beginning of the summer that if Michigan State doesn't get a center, they have to be on the losers list. Like,
yeah,
doesn't matter what else they do. So,
deservedly so.
Okay, my next one is Arizona, which I think might surprise some people because they got Trey Townsend, one of the only front court players Michigan State tried to get. Arizona lost Umar Ballo and Kylan Boswell, both guys that could have came back and are now playing basketball at other schools. They did not get Pell Arson back. Pell Arson is going to the draft. I know they have a good young core. I like their young core. You lost four starters and you're about to get Caleb Love back. That is my nightmare situation. If I'm an Arizona fan, like, I would much just push Caleb out and pay everybody else to return. I don't get it. I don't understand how anyone's happy with this. That's a loss to me.
I'm going to give this one a thumbs down. I like the addition of Trey Townsend. I like the young core coming back. I think there needed to be a little bit of is the word attrition with this roster. I think there needed to be some of that.
A little bit of attrition with the toxic guy, not the whole starting lineup.
Caleb Love's not coming back.
He's not in the combine.
He's not coming back.
I think he is because he literally isn't in the combine list. He didn't get an invite.
I can't believe he didn't get an invite.
Right. But that's like, oh. I think all signs point to him coming back.
And he's not in the portal either, is he?
No.
Oh.
So he's either back and he's getting paid or he's, I mean, that would be a Caleb Love way to go out. Just like never be heard from again. But okay. All right. So that's not on your list. Give me one that is on your list.
I had Houston on my list. I think they could have gone out and got a big name guard, and they ended up with Milos Uzan to basically replace Jamal Shedd. And I know they were able to get Cryer back, right? And wait, did I say that? Wait, sorry. I messed up when I said Baylor was a winner. I said they got LJ Cryer back when they didn't have LJ Cryer. So my apologies for that. I already know I'm probably getting torn up in the comments for that. But I just think that they had the opportunity to go get other point guards. Like we could be looking at like Jeremy Roach going to play there. Shit. Even like a Kadari Richmond. I think there were other point guard options or other guard options that I think would have worked out extremely well at Houston to replace Jamal Shedd, and I don't really like the Milos Uzan replacement.
Got it. I'm gonna iffy that one. I agree with you on Uzan, but I think everything else, they return so much that I don't consider them too much of a loser.
Okay.
I do really dislike the Uzan prioritization. I thought that was a weird one. All right, my next loser is St. John's.
Hey, they were not on my list.
The rumor with St. John's was that they were, they're the team that convinced Cliff to portal. It's a done deal. Oh, they're the team that convinced Kadari Richmond to portal. It's a done deal. They're going to have Kadari and Cliff in a great defense, and Rick Pitino's back. Can he close on anybody? Like, your theory for forever has been, is Rick Pitino just a name now? What's he doing? I don't know. They haven't been winning any of these portal things they were leaders in before these guys even hit the portal. So, for me, that's a loss. And I don't know if maybe Kadari ends up there. Maybe I'm wrong and I look stupid. But the fact that Cliff didn't and Kadari seemingly considering other options makes me think this is a big-time loser.
Yeah, they weren't on my list, but I'm giving you a thumbs up for putting them on the list. Because, I mean, I don't know what the latest I heard on it, but, like, people were saying Norchad Omier to St. John's was a done deal. And who knows if that's going to happen. They seem to have, like, this early lead on players out the portal and not been able to close, like you said. So, yeah.
Constantly being rumored, never actually getting them. Always the bridesmaid.
Never the bride.
I've hated that phrase my whole life. They're not on your list, so back to you. What do you got?
I had USC on my list. I'm sorry. Like, I know Musk added a whole new team, but I expected there to be more of a big bang splash. I love the add of St. Thomas, don't get me wrong. The guys like Pope are good too, but it's just like these guys don't strike me as like, oh, Musk is just working the portal. It's like Musk got these guys, but like Terrence Williams,
was right there with you until they got Des Claude. I think he's a guy.
Shit, they did get Des Claude.
Yeah.
Hey, Musk kind of showed me up on that one. I'm still going to put them in the loser category, I think.
It's also still Des Claude. I'm going to give you a thumb sideways, leaning slightly up, because it is very underwhelming. Terrence Williams is still like the fourth best name they've gotten. And you know, I've been very much on the Musk will be a disaster in year one train. So I'm with you there. All right, my final one, I feel gross putting on the list, but I think we have to. It's back in Big Ten country. It's Minnesota. They just got like, it's like they're like the farmer's market, and like every other school in the country is like my wife and her friends on a Sunday morning. Just like grabbing, give me that. That's mine. I'll pay for this. Okay, here, have it. They're gone. Like that, their whole roster was really fun and promising, and all they get back is Dawson Garcia, which objectively is a win. I'm glad they got Dawson Garcia back, but like you lose Hawkins, Christie, Payne. That's tough.
It's very tough. Is that their fault though?
No, which is why I feel gross about doing it. But like
you have to.
They were supposed to be one of the most fun, promising, like, can't wait to watch them next year groups. And instead, they're Dawson Garcia.
Okay, I didn't have them. And the last team that I had is one that you should put on there because they are the official transfer portal team of sleepers, and they didn't get anybody in this transfer portal.
Oh, no.
Who do we always say someone should go play for if they transfer right away?
I don't know.
Butler.
Yeah, Butler. It's tough.
They have all the opportunity in the world to go get guys and make things happen, and they have done none of that.
Tough look for Thad, for sure. All right. In summary, my winners, Kansas, Indiana, Arkansas, Chucky, Hepburn, Michigan. My losers, Illinois, Arizona, Michigan State, St. John's, Minnesota. Can you just speed round your winners and losers again, please?
Yeah, so I had Kansas, Arkansas winners. I didn't have it written down, so I already forgot. So, yeah, just go ahead and listen back. You can see my winners and losers.
How did you not have that written down?
So I did. I got like this notepad where I wrote it down, but I flipped the page because I went right to my players and I lost where the winners and loser was on the notepad.
Understood. All right. Well, there's the segment. Let's move on to topic number two.
Thank you, Con.
Topics two and three should be fun. They're the inverse of each other. We're going to start with topic number two today. Give me five players who did not enter the transfer portal that, in your opinion, should have. Now, do want to preface this. This is obviously a unique topic. We understand there are real human beings involved in this sport. We are not, let me say a disclaimer for us both. We are not insinuating anything about these players or their families as people as we do this exercise, okay? We're just from a basketball sense, give me a player you would have liked to have seen transfer for one reason or another, or at least entered the portal for one reason or another that did not and instead has opted to return to school. Also, just to clarify, we talked about this beforehand. We're not allowed to do players that are going into the NBA draft or have a decision there. We need players who are confirmed to be playing college basketball again next season that you wish were in the portal that did not enter. Why are you looking at me weird?
I thought we were okay to do players that had the option to come back, but they're in the draft.
We talked about Mark Sears and said we're going to take him out of the exercise.
Okay. All right, we can do that. It's fine.
Okay. All right. So there's one. Mark Sears would have been on my list because I think Mark Sears could have basically done what Coleman Hawkins did, which is a smart move, and see how to maximize your money. Those guys aren't on this list. These are players who are going to play college basketball that you wish you think would have transferred or thought about other options. Do you want me to go first?
Please.
Okay. Let's start hot. Once again, not making too many friends. I think Jackson Kohler should have hit the transfer portal for both parties. I think Michigan State needs a better center than him. I think he would be greatly benefited by going somewhere else while he still has 2 years of eligibility. Because if this season doesn't go fantastic for him at Michigan State, he is going to quickly flip from like the promising third guy who's been injured and like, well, let's not give up on him, to what happened to Mati, which is you're the scapegoat. You're awful. We hate you. Get out of here. Yeah. And for in his own defense, I don't think he's going to cut it at Michigan State. I don't think he's good enough. I think he'd be great at a smaller level. I think he could be an all-conference player in the Mountain West. And if he had left instead of coming back when Izzo begged him back, I think it would have forced Izzo's hand to go and get an upgrade at center anyway. So
yeah, I like that pick.
Okay. Is he on your list?
He's not on my list.
All right, let's go back and forth again. Who you got?
Okay, my first on my list was Kalkbrenner.
He's on my list.
He's on your list. Okay. I truly think that with the exit of Shireman, the exit of Trey Alexander, Kalk could have signed up to be the big for a team with better guards than Steven Ashworth and Pop Isaacs. And I'm not saying Ashworth and Pop Isaacs are a bad guard combo. I just think that he could have, one, made himself a lot of money, and two, went to go, you know, just change the scenery for him.
Yeah, I completely agree. He would have been one of the most highest paid players. And if you saw the rumored number that Cliff Amorier was offered $2 million to go to a school, I can only imagine what Kalk would have been offered.
Is part of this exercise saying where we want him to go?
Yeah, I'd like that. Where do you think?
Real spiciness here. I actually would have wanted him to go to Marquette.
Whoa. Oso replacement?
Oso replacement. Play with Cam Jones. Cam Jones is going to be an All-American. I would have really liked it. Side note, Baylor finally getting a center would have been great too.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I don't hate that. That's interesting. Okay. You have to go again because he was also on my list.
Okay. Next one. I don't think you had this on your list, but I think you'll like this pick by me. Eric Dixon from Villanova.
Oh.
Eric Dixon is low-key a hooper. Like,
Is he still playing?
Yeah, he is.
Wow, I thought he was done.
No, he's still playing. And I think he might be going through the process, but I think he's pretty much coming back.
Are we positive he's playing?
I'm pretty positive.
He was listed as a double senior in Basketball Reference last year, his fifth year. He redshirted in 2019. He's played 4 years since, freshman, junior, senior, senior.
And he redshirted 1 year?
Yeah. Does he get a
coach? Yeah, so he's back. I'm pretty sure he's coming back.
Interesting. I concluded he was done, but
okay. I did, and Eric Dixon should be on this list because Eric Dixon needs to get away from Kyle Neptune, and I think he's really, really good.
And you want him at Michigan State, I assume.
Honestly, I didn't even think about that, but
would have been a perfect fit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lefty. Yeah. I would have loved that. Honestly, a front court pairing of Dixon and Booker, two lefty shooters.
Really, I would have loved it.
Jay Nakins too. You'd have an all lefty shooter team. It'd be really fun. Okay. Not on my list, but I like that pick. I'm going to take an obvious one here. David Jones. David Jones is really good. He scored 20 points at Memphis last year. Ooh, yay, Memphis. Tyrese Hunter's coming and Dane's coming and that other big they just got's coming. I wouldn't do the whole run it back with Memphis thing. And if I were Memphis, I don't think I would have tried super hard to get David Jones back either. I know he's a good player, but I think there's some complicated stuff there. Realistically, David Jones would have, on the open market, he would have gotten some huge money offers because you're just not going to find a 20 points a game scorer guy. I can't believe he didn't at least seek those out before returning to Memphis.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I like that pick a lot. I still can't believe he didn't enter the portal, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's still shocking to me. He was not on my list. On my list, my not going to make a friend's pick here is Miles Colvin from Purdue. And it's just because of, I think so highly of Miles Colvin, and I know he's not leaving. Like we said, like we prefaced this exercise. It's just players that we think maybe we might flourish somewhere else or something like that. Fletcher's probably going to be at Purdue for another 2 years, right? Braden Smith as well is going to be there. Cam Heidi's been coming on as of late. You're bringing in a large freshman class with lots of guards and wings in it, by the way, too. So it's like, are we not going to get Miles Colvin in a featured role until his senior year? It just seems like you're waiting a long time for it.
I thought about Miles. He was on my initial short list, and then I scratched it out of protective safety for myself and us. Not just protective safety for myself and us, though. I think there is obviously something to the concept of staying in a winning program. Like it's not like Painter hasn't put guys in the pros in a couple of years. He's made a guy into the two-time National Player of the Year. He made Jaden Ivey into an All-American in 2 years. I think there's something to just, oh, we made the national championship last year. Why would I leave? He is definitely going to get a bigger role next year than he did last year. I do fear what happens if it's not a starting spot because Fletcher Lawyer's going nowhere. I think Cam Heidi's better than Miles Colvin, and only one of Catchings or Colvin theoretically is a starter. Not just this year. Think 2 years from now. Yeah. Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, Cam Heidi, Cannon Catchings, and Miles Colvin will all still be on the same roster. That's a great roster, but at least one of them will not be in the starting lineup. And my money would be that it's probably Colvin who's off the bench, and I don't know how long this will last if that remains true.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with that's why he's on my list. I'm sorry like for opening pick. I'm sorry for opening us up to that. So.
It's okay. Just yell at him, not us. I have two more. I think you're gonna be surprised by both of these. One of them has been a name that I alluded to earlier this offseason as a potential transfer. One is not. Brooks Barnheiser.
Ooh, good pick.
I'm sorry, Northwestern fans. he might be a first-team all-conference player this year. He might be featured in a Collins offense and end up looking really good. I think the reality is Northwestern's set to take a huge step back after Boo. And with Ty Berry's injury, like, you can't even really sell me on, like, Brooks and Ty doing this together. I'm worried about what Northwestern is if Ty is not 100%. Brooks, I think, is good enough to play on the best. Like, Brooks Barnheiser could play at UConn. I think he could start on any team. I think he would fill in and be a stud. And based on, like, Mason Gillis is at Duke right now. Blue Bloods would have wanted Brooks Barnheiser, and he would have been awesome. So, that's one I like.
That's a good shot by you. Mine is a player you're familiar with from the North Carolina Tar Heels. You want to guess?
Oh, yeah. I thought about him. Seth Trimble.
Yeah, it's Seth Trimble. It is. I think that Seth Trimble deserves a bigger role on a team, and he's going to be stuck behind, once again, RJ Davis and Elliot Cadeau, seemingly. And I think that in order for him to kind of maybe go where he wants to go or reach the heights he wants to reach, it would have, I thought it was a good decision for him to enter the portal, to be honest. Like, I'm sure North Carolina loves having him back, don't get me wrong, but I think he could once again kind of get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, I completely agree. Credit to North Carolina for making it not happen, but shocked it didn't happen. My final one is my biggest one that would have been a big splash. Based on what the going rate is for a stud front court player, I think Jani Broome should have hit the portal.
I was thinking about that. I didn't do it. I like that angle, though.
I think he should have hit the portal. If you're seeing what Cliff is getting, if you're seeing what these other guys, what Hunter Dickinson got last year, man, like, and this is not to say Auburn's not paying him. It's not to say he doesn't love Auburn, because by all accounts he does. He didn't even think about entering, so clearly he does. Auburn is going to start a brand new backcourt. They lost everybody from their backcourt. With all due respect to JP Pegu, however you say it, I don't think this is a national title caliber worthy roster. And you look around, there's a lot of spots he could have gone that are, in my opinion. Baylor still needs a center, but is loaded everywhere else. He could have just gotten the Cliff bag at Alabama, and I know that would have broken everybody's minds if he went Auburn-Alabama, but Aiden Holloway already did that. To me, he would be the best front court player that would have entered the portal this offseason, and should have probably seen what the offers would have been.
Yeah, I like that pick. I like it a lot. I was thinking about that one. Did not have him. My last one, maybe a little bit obvious, but I feel like he's left by himself. Dawson Garcia actually should have entered the portal.
It's a really good one. I did not think of him.
He should have, because everyone else left. And he was the one who was the first one that was rumored to go bag hunting and get in the portal again. And he would have got a large bag looking around the country at what these other players are getting. And now at first I was like, okay, Dawson doesn't enter because they're kind of running it back with this Minnesota team. Everybody left him. He's stuck with Parker Fox again. Like, he should have won it.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's a great shout. This was a fun game. Is the lesson here everyone should portal?
Yes. It should be like everyone enters the portal until you say you're not. Like, you're automatically entered until you say you're coming back.
Really fun exercise.
Yes.
Which is a great segue to topic number three. Players that should not have transferred but did. So maybe not everyone should transfer, even though we just told you they should. Now that we know all of the names who have officially portaled, they don't need to have committed to a new school yet, but just players that entered the portal, I want us to each give five guys that we think should have stayed at their own school and not transferred out. We'll run this the same way we ran the last two. I'll go first. I'm going to warn you right now, my list has five players who have transferred out of the Big Ten Conference at one point. So maybe a little biased here, but all five of these guys, yeah. I'm going to start with a friend of the show. I'm upset that Sky Clark is home. I love UCLA, but if Chucky Hepburn got the Chucky Hepburn bag, why the hell did Sky Clark not get that bag?
On my list, same reason. Like, and literally just looking at what Kelsey was or what Kelsey's going to be, I think Sky Clark's playing style might, you know, be more conducive to him than what he's going to go through with Mick Cronin.
It would work great. That's the thing. Like, Sky is straight up better than Chucky Hepburn, and for what they're paying, like, I can't imagine UCLA is paying Sky more. It also hurts because Sky is back home, and I'm happy for Sky, and he's going to look so good in that UCLA uniform. But selfishly for me, I think Sky would have been really good for Pat Kelsey, and I would have liked to see it. Glad he's on your list. That makes me feel good about the start. How about a second one? Michi Johnson should not have transferred. We're cooking. South Carolina was special last year. Michi was in the perfect situation with a team that played a bunch of defense. Like, I can't imagine he's not ending up in a better situation for him than he was on last year.
Yeah, it just doesn't make much sense to me. I don't get it. Like, he had everything, and now he's transferring back to Ohio State to play with a guard who basically is like a better version of him and Bruce Thornton. And like, I don't know. It doesn't make much sense to me still.
Okay, now I'm going to try and play this game. Which one of my final three do I think is most likely on your list? I'm moving things around here. I'm gonna say one that is probably not on your list, but I wish Cliff Amorier would have stayed at Rutgers.
On my list.
He's on your list.
He's on my list. He's on my list. He finally got guards to play with. Rutgers should be rocking this year with Cliff at center and then Harper and Bailey and Jeremiah Williams. But like, he just left. And maybe Moat Mag could have came back too. This sucks.
Now, the thing is, Alabama is definitely going to be better than Rutgers. And if Mark Sears is back, they're a top three team in the country. And he got it back. So it's hard to like take all of those things and be like, Cliff made the wrong decision. But yeah, he finally got like two pros to play with. And at bare minimum, he would have gone down as a Rutgers legend. We have seen guys like Ron Harper Jr. and Geo Baker became Rutgers legends. And those guys are beloved in that community and made careers out of that. Like, to me, Cliff could have been that if he turned down the bag, and it would have made Rutgers like a top 10 team in the country. Instead, they have a massive hole at center, and Cliff won't knock him for getting paid. But it was a weird time to seek out. Like, he should have left Rutgers a year ago if he was ever going to leave, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, he was on my list as well.
Okay, there's no way we can go 5 for 5, but number 4 for me is a family you would never speak of, so they're not on your list. Cam Christie.
Wow, should have stayed in Minnesota.
Yeah, hear me out. Here's why. Now, Cam, I don't know what's going to happen with Cam. Maybe he hasn't ruled out a Minnesota return, and he might end up in the NBA. But I would argue that Cam Christie being what I think Cam Christie can be next season at Minnesota for Ben Johnson would have been more impressive to NBA scouts than going to be like a fourth option on a really good team.
Okay. Yeah. I think I like it. But what if he goes to the NBA though?
Then that would mean, like, if he's a first round pick, he just goes to the NBA, right? Like, that's,
yeah. Okay. He doesn't. Okay. Yeah. I got you.
But I just, like, if he could have came back to Minnesota, averaged like 17 a game next year, I think he would have. He would have been featured without those other guys. And, yeah, I think the NBA would have fallen in love with that as much as they will wherever he goes next.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, your list. Who you got?
Not on my list. This one might surprise you. I had Tremont Mark on my list because – I actually would have liked to see Tremont Mark actually stay and play for Cal. I think he would have brought him some experience, some winning plays. I think Tremont Mark is a tremendous player who he didn't get the chance to win last season with Arkansas, but before that, like, he's part of the Houston culture, and he was not part of Arkansas's issue last year with Muss. And I think he would have been a pretty good addition to this Arkansas team. And, you know, obviously he wouldn't go play for my Longhorns, which I'm not mad about, but part of me didn't want him to transfer and wanted him to actually stay on board with Cal. Like, you have a lineup of Boogie, Jonnell, Tremont Mark, Adu, Big Z. Like, I really like that lineup.
You sold me on the Cal part of this.
Okay. Not the lineup like, part.
Well, I was just like, ew, why? And then you were like, well, he could have played for Cal. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in. Yeah, I don't know. Like, if you're a guy who thinks you're an NBA guard, doesn't associating yourself with Cal just help inherently with that?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good one. That's a good shout. All right, my final one I think is going to be a shock to you. I think Sincere Harris should have stayed at Illinois. I know his boy left.
Gregory.
Don't tell me he's on your list.
No, I had another Illini player on my list.
Damn it. Did you have Hansberry?
No.
Who else transferred? Oh, Luke Goody.
No.
They all transferred, didn't they? Who else transferred?
Coleman.
I thought about Coleman, but I don't know. I feel like there's a part of him that might just end up back there anyway.
Well, here goes selfish me. There's been nights where I've gone to bed and laid my head on the pillow, and I was like, man, I don't even know if it would look good or not or lead to success. But I would enjoy myself watching a month or two of Big Ten basketball with number one option Coleman Hawkins. I would. I don't care if it's good or bad. I just want to experience it.
I agree with you there. I think the thing – when I think of Coleman's decision, I think – like, I always come back to that UConn landing spot. Like, if UConn ends up on the table for him, long way to that. But if he's choosing between Illinois and UConn, it would be hard for me to argue it makes sense for him to stay at Illinois if UConn is on the table. And I think there would be schools like that that would be on the table. Sincere, on the other hand, you're walking in to play for a coach – in Darian DeVries, who is going to cater everything around his son for a year. And then his son leaves and he has to rebuild from scratch. You're going in because you believe your assistant coach is your guy, but your assistant coach at Illinois couldn't even keep you in the guaranteed rotation. So how good is your guy at making sure you're maximized as is? I hear that's probably why he needed to leave, because Brad didn't believe in him. But if you look at Illinois' roster right now, Sincere would play huge minutes next year. Play huge minutes next year. They need him. They need good players. They don't have enough good players right now. I still believe Sincere will be a good player, so I think it's a missed opportunity for him.
I'm surprised you, if you were going that angle, you wouldn't pick Goody to stay.
Sincere has a future beyond a year. Like, Goody graduated and, you know.
Yeah,
I believe in Sincere as a player, man. More than, like, if I'm going through the Illinois departures, I believe in Sincere more than Hansberry. And I think, like, technically three more years of Sincere could be more valuable than a year of Goody.
Yeah, I feel that.
All right, there you have it. Fun exercises today. Tough exercises, but good exercises. One big beef, aka one big thing, but now it's one big beef because we just wanted to use this entire space together to talk about the Drake versus Kendrick Lamar beef from the last couple days. If you've been living under a rock, Google Drake and Kendrick. This is one of the two greatest hip-hop beefs in history of hip-hop, in my opinion. It's been nonstop slaughter back and forth between these two. It's very polarizing. I would say like 90% of the earth is either on one of these two sides. Like, inherently, you either believe Kendrick is doing no wrong or you believe Drake is doing no wrong. That's why it's so polarizing. But it's been a long time since we've had two guys at the level of these two guys in rap be so pointed in their hatred for each other and make enough songs as quickly as these guys are doing it. I mean, it seems every single day right now we're getting a new song from these two that is literally just, I hate you. So you and I are both, I think it's fair to say, on Team Drake. I like to think I can be pretty objective about where things stand. I also think you cannot be pretty objective about where things stand, but you can try. You will try, I think.
Yeah.
As we've recorded this, Drake dropped a new song in the middle of the recording. We took a pause to listen to it. And that was The Heart Part 6. That dropped tonight, Sunday, May 5th. Now, this could be old news. Like, by the time you hear this tomorrow, Kendrick could already have released a new song. Or Drake could. These guys are lunatics. So this might be completely old by the time you listen to this on Monday. But as things stand right now, we just listened to The Heart Part 6 that just came out 5 minutes ago. Talk to me on this beef. Where are you at? Do you think your guy's in a good position?
So I'll say this. I try to be objective as I can. Drake's a better artist and rapper than Kendrick Lamar. I argue with your mama. I'm not going to argue with you. I will say this. Kendrick's been coming with that shit. Like, he's been taking shots. I think that what he's been dropping, he's been going at Drake's head for sure. Like, this is, I love the way he's operating in this aforementioned beef, right? I think Drake has been doing his part as well. With that said, this last track that got released, The Heart Part 6, I believe is what it's called. A little bit too much defending, not as much like Mr. Morale and the Steppers is one of the worst albums I ever heard, and You're 5'5", and You Hit Your Wife. Like, there was not enough of that. There was not enough negativity aimed at the 5'5 man, in my opinion, for my liking. If this was the red button, I think the red button let me down. I'm hoping this was the green button. This was the orange. This was the primer, flipping the switch before, you know. You got a push mower at home, Greg?
I do.
Yeah, you know, you got to hit that button before you actually, you know, whip it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm hoping that's what this was. This is the pushing the button, like, shut up, short man, and I'm going to fire up the lawnmower and end this dude. Because it should be easy to end this man, because we haven't heard him rap in the last 11 years. Basically, he drops music periodically. And for first periods of time, some of that music he's dropping is really, really bad. And Drake has dropped bad music as well, but Kendrick has dropped more bad music. So it's like, you know, do I got to pick a side with who I'm on in this beef? I will. I'm on Drake's side. I don't care. but also, I could objectively say that I could see why someone's scoring this as Kendrick's winning this beef.
Yeah, okay. I think that's a fair outlook. I have a hard time just with you saying like he hasn't made music in 11 years when he is the reigning rap album of the year Grammy winner. Like, he
For Mr. Morale?
He has made music in the last 11 years. You just don't like the music.
Did you like Mr. Morale and the Steppers?
I liked a few songs on it. I didn't like it as a full project, but like,
did that album win a Grammy?
It won Rap Album of the Year at the Grammys. Hey, Kendrick just opened his mouth. Somebody give him a Grammy right now. That's what happened. Yeah, look, in honor of these two, both Kendrick and Drake, I lied when you asked me if I have a push mower. I don't. These two have been spewing lies around constantly. That's what I'm doing now. I lied. I had a push mower. I sold it at a garage sale this weekend. The thing about the push mower that I sold is that it was actually broken. So while you're being like, I wish there was a little more, like, you gotta rev it up before you push it. Yeah, yeah. I'm worried Drake's button might be broken. That's where I'm at right now. Because I think Drake thinks his red button was the LOL, I trolled y'all into thinking I had an 11-year-old daughter. I think that was Drake's red button. And look, it is objectively a win for the Drake side of this that Kendrick appears to have lied and had false information fed to him. Like the album cover for the second to last diss track, whatever that was. What one was it? The Meet the Grams, right?
Meet the Grams, yeah.
Yeah, the album cover for Meet the Grams is like taken off because it was planted, right? That's a win for Drake, objectively, that Kendrick fell for that. The much larger issue with the battle right now for Drake fans is that I think, oh man, how do I say this, Carr? I think you might agree with me on this. The inherent advantage that Drake had coming into this in the, like, who can win out at the end of this was that Drake fans think Drake is cooler than Kendrick Lamar. That's the inherent advantage. And I think people who would say, like, in general, they're not fans of either, or just public, or I like both, would say Drake makes more fun to listen to songs and he's the cooler celebrity. And then Kendrick fans are like the higher level IQ, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's poetry and it's art. It's not music, whatever. They're both great rappers. I don't have an issue with any of it. The reason I think Kendrick's winning the battle right now is I think Kendrick has just made it cool to make fun of Drake, like, to the masses. And coming into this, it was only cool for, like, Kendrick fans to make fun of Drake, right? Like, that was the thing. It was, like, niche-y people that hated Drake. Drake haters were the ones that made fun of Drake. Now Kendrick has, like, everyone in public making fun of Drake. Like, that Ovi Ho shit, that shit was a bop. Not Like Us was a fun song to listen to that is going to be played all season long, that basically did what Drake tries to do better than Drake did in this battle. So I like all eight of the songs, for the record. Like, I am a fan of both of these guys. I came in very much on Team Drake. I hope Drake kills him. And as a Drake fan, I'm sitting here being like, damn, I think Kendrick has the upper hand right now. And when after Not Like Us dropped, after it was back-to-back Meet the Grams and then Not Like Us, I wanted Drake to push the red button, quote unquote, right? Like, I want Drake to come back throwing punches. I think the Heart Part 6 was very defensive. I think the Heart Part 6 was Drake like this in the ring, pushed back to the corner by the 5'5" man and making sure he doesn't get hit in the head by just saying, I'm not a pedophile for 3 minutes in a row. Like, if that's the angle, if, like, being tired and acting like you don't want to do the battle anymore and saying I'm not a pedophile over and over again is where we're at, we're not in a good spot. Because Kendrick has it cool to clown you right now, and all you're saying is, I'm not a pedophile, I'm not a pedophile, I'm not a pedophile.
But at the same time, the whole world's been asking him to basically deny that. And he's like, well, I didn't think I had to, but now I have to.
But Drake's upper hand in this was just keep making cool songs. That's your upper hand. And, like, to me, that is what has flipped in the last day. Is like, and the video he put out, the last one, Family Matters, loved that. Thought that was a banger. I think that's the best song that Drake has made in this. I like Push Ups a lot too. But to me, like, Family Matters is his masterpiece in this. Push Ups is great. I like Taylor Made Freestyle. I didn't like The Heart Part 6. Like, and I've only listened to it once right now. I got to go back and listen to it. I'm sure I'll like it more. To me, that was the weakest of the 8 songs that have been dropped. Because it wasn't attacking at all. It wasn't battling. It was like literally like, my dog, are we sure we still want to do this? Ha ha, I trolled you, and I'm not a pedophile. That's not a win for me. Like,
it's not over, Gregory.
I hope it's not over, but, like, I don't know. Kendrick seems like a lunatic. I don't think he'll ever end this. That was my question. How do you think this ends?
This ends now. Kendrick's not releasing anything.
Kendrick is absolutely going to put another song out. There's no way it ends at this.
Kendrick's putting another song out?
I believe Kendrick will never let Drake be the last person to put a song out. And Drake,
I wonder if he'll say something new.
Probably not, but I'd
Or is he just going to go with, like, the Chance the Rapper cadence?
I don't think he needs to say anything new right now. I think he has the upper hand. He needs to keep punching.
Just throw it on another beat, same thing?
It was on Drake to flip this, and Drake, to me, did not flip it. He sat and said, I'm actually not a pedophile. I it's easy to be compared to Epstein. That was actually a line in that. Like, that's absurd, man.
My dog's up, man. I don't care what you say.
I mean, I hope the best thing that could happen for us is if Kendrick comes out and does what Drake just did. If he comes out and he's like, I actually didn't beat my wife. That would be a win for us. Because that would be him going back defensive. But yeah, I don't think Kendrick's going to do that. I think he's just going to keep spewing animosity.
Animosity or lies?
I don't think it matters that he's lying anymore. I think it.
So we need Drake to start lying.
I think it mattered that Kendrick was lying before Drake got defensive. And then when Drake got defensive and Kendrick made it cool to clown Drake, now it doesn't matter if you lie anymore. Kendrick can come back and say 1,000 new lies, and as long as he keeps making Drake look uncool and defensive, he's in the lead. Which sucks. I don't like this. I wanted Drake to destroy him. I'm really upset with how the last 24 hours have done. Because after Family Matters, I thought Drake had the lead. I thought that was huge.
This ends with a joint album, doesn't it?
I just hope it goes for like 2 more weeks. Because collectively, these are some of my favorite songs either of these have put out in years.
Big facts.
Definitely. Like, dead ass. These are my favorite Kendrick songs since Good Kid, Mad City, and these are my favorite Drake songs since Nothing Was the Same.
Yeah. Also, Greg, I don't mean to throw you off here, but you know how you gave me one of these earlier on the exercise?
Huh?
What'd you say Baylor was missing?
A center.
Yeah. Say hello to newly Baylor Bear Norchad Omier.
Oh, that's good.
Scott Drew.
That's also you pivoting to get the conversation off the fact that Kendrick's ahead of Drake. That's a loss for Drake. Straight up.
Who said he's ahead?
I did. And then you changed the subject to Norchad.
He's not ahead. Not ahead.
How would you score it?
Drake's up.
That's all? You're not going to, like, can I get rankings of the 8 songs that have been put out?
Nope. Drake's up.
Which one's your favorite of all the songs that have been made?
Probably Family Matters, Not Like Us, Push Ups.
Whoa, you got Not Like Us ahead of three of the Drake tracks.
That shit was kind of hard.
That shit was super hard.
That shit was hard. And the beat was hard too.
That's Not Like Us was like the big moment of the battle thus far. It was the climax, and it's when Kendrick flipped everything.
Yeah, and then everything else is Drake's. And then last you have Euphoria and Meet the Grams, all that.
See, I think it's not listenable, obviously, but I think Meet the Grams deserves to be up near Not Like Us. Those two were like the most individual, like jaw-dropping moments of this to me. Which is why like Drake still needs that, and he doesn't have that. The final minute of Family Matters is so heat, though. Just like that whole flip up to that flow and the beat change.
And then the new Ho King restaurant, yeah, that is
the new
fire.
Ho King, that's crazy. I can't believe you don't have a hat with the new Ho King logo on it yet.
I need to work on that.
Sure.
Immediately.
Just for record keeping purposes, I would rank it. I would put Family Matters 1 because I am a Drake fan at heart. And then I have Not Like Us 2, Meet the Grams 3, Push Ups 4. I'll put Euphoria 5, Taylor Made Freestyle Style 6, 616 in LA 7, The Hard Part 6, 8. I thought The Hard Part 6 was by far the weak spot of the battle, though.
Drake's winning.
It might as well have been a Chance song, honestly. Literally, like.
All right, end the episode.
I'm not a pedophile. I'm not a pedophile. Ha! I'm not a pedophile. Yeah. I love my wife. Ha! I don't beat her. Ha! Six. We'll be back tomorrow. Enjoy your night.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.